Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. We've been doing this in chronological order, and we've been covering all four of the Gospels from the very beginning of His presence, the Lord's presence, and the messages that He has presented. I trust it has been a help to you just to study those times of His teachings and being able to apply them to our lives. His teachings was to disciple the apostles during the time that when He was here, so that they would be prepared for the apostolic age when He would ascend into heaven. And then, of course, as He has established the New Testament church age, these are the very same truths and discipling that we need from the Lord is these teachings that we've been studying. So I trust it's been a help and a blessing. We have been studying up into the third, toward the end actually, of the third year of His public ministry. And last week we studied here in chapter 18, and verse 7 was the key, and it says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." And what a powerful revelation that Christ brought to us concerning we're going to have offenses. Things are going to offend us. People are going to offend all the different things. There's going to be sin against humanity. Children, the most sad part about it all is the abuse of children. He addresses this. And basically, the truth of this was the woe of eternal damnation to those who offend children. That woe is revealing the eternal damnation that goes into the idea of to keep from offending. You'd be better off just to cut off an arm, a leg, an eye. What he was presenting to us, you're better off not to have that than to let your feelings and your touch and your vision, all these different things, be used as an offense. And so I trust that was a help and a blessing, because this goes right along with that as we continue our study tonight. Matthew chapter 18, I want you to stand with me, because the next in chronological order would have been what he taught in verse 15 down to verse 17. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this evening, what a blessing it is to be back in church. And I thank you, God, for each one that has taken advantage of the opportunity to be back here in the assembly tonight. And God, you know exactly how you would want this message to be applied to each and every one of our lives. Only you know some of the victories the old devil is getting in the lives of individuals and church members and families. I just pray, God, that the message tonight would be a revelation, would be able to help and direction and helping us to overcome the blinders sometimes that the old devil would love to place on us. I pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So the message, if you will, and what Jesus is presenting here is the importance of unity. When it comes down to it, it's the importance of unity for believers, brothers, sisters, those of like faith, like belief, for families, and for the churches. Jesus made a point of teaching this and establishing this behavior before his departure. Can I tell you that's so important here? This is the end of the third year, coming toward the end of the third year of his public ministry, and he has taught so much and presented so much. But one of the things that would have to be established, because the devil is going to try to work through this area of trespasses, as we looked at the offenses, the trespasses go right along with it. Satan's going to try, and he has worked through this in so many lives. But Jesus has established it for us and has recorded in the Word for us so that we might be able to defeat the devil and gain the victory that God has for us concerning relationships. There's no doubt that he knew that Satan would use this as a snare to hinder relationships that God wants people to have, that are healthy, and that will allow us to accomplish even more for the cause of Christ when we are in the relationships and we have the relationships that God wants us to have. As we think about this tonight, does anybody really enjoy or finds pleasure in being at odds with other people? One of the greatest pleasures of life is relationships. Stop and think about it. The relationships of a child with a parent. That parent brings that child into this world, and they are somewhat that parent's world. You know, they look at that child, and that's them, and they have the God has given them life to have a relationship, if you will, until they die. Now that relationship changes as that child becomes less and less independent, or more dependent upon mom and dad, and you're raising them to give them the best opportunities to turn out right and have the relationships that God has for them, because that next relationship would be that of a marriage, husband and wife relationship. I tell you, that's one of the blessings of Christianity. Two becomes one. The world's trying to destroy that, taking it away from Christian marriages, but according to God, that relationship, and he prepares you from birth, I believe, to be that spouse, that complete that other individual that he is going to unite you with, so that you might be able to, as a couple, accomplish great and mighty things. First of all, raising your children is the first ministry. It's a great and mighty thing to raise children to serve the Lord. And then he gives us a church, and what a blessing it is to have those that we can look to, an extended family. And as we have an extended family of the church, we have been given instructions that we are brothers and we are sisters and we are together in the family, the household of faith, the family of God. He has given to us those relationships to give us more of a joy in our lives. Who wants to be at odds with your children? Who wants to be at odds with your spouse? Who wants to be at odds with those in whom we're serving together in the household of faith, in the church? Who would desire that? When you know the kind of relationship that you can have in the will of God, the relationship as a parent and a child with their parents, the relationship that a husband and a wife can have, the relationship that we can have as brothers and sisters in Christ, and all the different, it's what God gives us. Who would not want that if you believed you could have that? Can I tell you, God wants you to have it. If God wants you to have it, then you're the only one standing in its way. Now, I understand it takes two for any relationship to be what it ought to be and what God wants it to be. It does. If one person does not want to be married, you cannot force that marriage on that. You cannot force them to be faithful to their spouse. You cannot force them to stay married because it takes two for that relationship. But woe unto that one who brings that offense into that person's life. Woe unto that one who says, I do not want this relationship to work, and I will not submit to this relationship in Christ's will. I will not stay married. I will not raise this family. I will not honor and respect mom and dad. I will not be the church member that God wants me to be. That is woe unto you. That's part of what he had just presented as far as offenses to another. And you, if you offend somebody by keeping them from being from what God has for them, then woe to you. But you don't have to. I often tell people in marriage counsel, you know, it might not work. It's God's will for it to work. But it takes two. What you need to do is make sure you're not the one that is a reason what for it to fail. Parent, do not be the reason that your child turns out wrong. Husband, do not be the reason that your marriage fails. Wife, do not be the reason that your marriage fails. Church member, don't be the reason why you run somebody else out of the church or the unity of the church is not in place. Wow. That's what Christ is dealing with right here. It was for his apostles, but it would be for the entire church age. Because it's a tool that Satan uses. It begins here with verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother, that's a relationship that God has brought into being. I believe parent and child, that's a relationship that God has brought into being. Husband and wife, that's a relationship that God has brought into being. Brother, it's a relationship that God has brought into your life. If thy brother shall trespass against thee. Trespass. Very important that we understand the definition of that word trespass. To pass over a boundary line. Ever have anybody do that to you? Yeah. I remember as young kids going out and guys flexing the muscles and step over that line. Come on, I dare you, step over that line. And you're challenging them to step over that line, if you will, to be a trespass. So then by them trespassing, getting in your space, they stepped over that line, you're ready to smack them. Or you then, if you're really not, you'll say, all right, step over that line. And you're hoping they don't do it. But that's that word trespass. Somebody stepping over that boundary line. To go too far. You ever had anybody just go too far with something that has to do with you? All right, have a little fun. Make a joke. Tease me about my weight. But don't go too far. Trespass. To violate another's rights. To violate another's rights. We all have certain rights as human beings. And when you feel like that you are, this is my rights, and somebody has taken that away from me. Trespass. And then the one that's related to last week, to commit an offense against. Woe unto the world because of offenses. The world. For it must needs be, because man has a free will. If man has a free will, God has to allow them to activate or to use that free will. And sometimes a free will is a sin against somebody else. It must needs be that offense is coming because we have a free will. You can't force somebody to do what's right, especially when it comes against you. Can't force somebody to do what's right for you in your relationship. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Powerful understanding, powerful beginning to this lesson that the Lord gives us concerning trespasses. See, once a trespass becomes an ought, it must be addressed. Once a trespass, we've already discussed some of that, becomes an ought. Somebody else trespass against you, you determine whether or not it's an ought. An ought is something that will not go away on its own. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord dealt with this. We studied some of this before. But Matthew chapter 5, he brings this idea of an ought into the picture of trespassing. Therefore, verse 23, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you're looking to make a sacrifice, Old Testament, the idea there, you're looking to have communication with God, and you're bringing an offering to the Lord, and you want to have communications with God, you want to have fellowship with God. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest, maybe the Holy Spirit of God brings it back to your mind, something that has taken place, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Maybe I've trespassed against that brother, and because of that trespass, he has looked at that as an ought, something that will not go away on its own. Leave there thy gift before the altar, because that's as far as you can go. And go thy way first. Before you can have a right relationship with God, go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother. Can I tell you, it is God's will for reconciliation of oughts. In the relationships that God has brought into our lives, it is not God, it's not his will or his desire for any of the relationships that God has brought into our lives to be non-functional, to be at odds. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift, because then you can have fellowship with God. Wow. So, the power of a trespass. That's what it begins there. So Jesus brought, was he presenting this? He's already dealt with the offenses. Now he gets to this place in the relationships of the disciples, the relationships with families, the relationships of all believers. So moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, somebody has crossed the line. Somebody has went too far. They have violated my rights. They have committed an offense against me. We can all say we've been there. Understand the power of a trespass. The end of this, verse 15, says, go to him, tell him his fault between thee and he alone. If he shall hear thee, this is what God wants us to gain from this. Thou hast gained thy brother. So the power of a trespass means that you've lost a brother. What happened here, they had a trespass, and so and they didn't, you had to get right this trespass, you have to do what's right by this trespass, and if everything goes according to God's will, then you've gained that relationship back with your brother. So the trespass has actually severed a relationship with a brother. It has severed a relationship that God wants you to have. I don't know about you, but I want all that God wants me to have. The only way that you can be totally content in the life that God has given us to live is to have everything that God wants me to have. And when I have everything that God wants me to have, I can find contentment. When I don't have the faith that God wants me to have, when I don't have the forgiveness that God wants me to have, when I don't have the relationships that God wants me to have, I will not find contentment. Satan will work in my life and he will take away my contentment for life, for living. Take away my joy. Wow. You got to see the power in what we're dealing with tonight. The power of a trespass. You've lost a relationship with someone who Jesus has brought into your life. Someone who Jesus loves. Someone who Jesus loves and died for. No matter who they are or what they've done, the Lord loves that individual and he wants that individual to be saved. And he wants that saved individual to live for him. And an offense has cost you a relationship that God has brought into your life. Can I tell you, as we look here, understand this was established behavior for believers, not necessarily for the lost. This is God's plan for the believer. This will not work with the lost. But it will work with a believer because it's God designed it. And it's connected mainly to his church. Because a relationship with a brother, a relationship with a spouse, a relationship with a child and a parent affects the church. So goes the family, so goes the church. That's what's connected here. And so he said, the devil is trying to come against the church. He's going to try to keep the church from accomplishing what God has established the church to accomplish. He's going to try to keep the believer from establishing what God has for the believer to accomplish. He's going to try to keep you as a couple, as a marriage, as a family, to keep you from accomplishing what God has for you as a family. And it comes down to the person and then the relationship with the family. And then it's going to affect the church. It's something that the devil is all about, but God says this is what you have to do to overcome this trespass and this offense that will be a part of our lives, because it must needs be. God has to allow it that offenses come. The power of a trespass is the loss of relationship. It's also the loss of ability to truly worship. We just read it in chapter 5. If you have in your mind there's an ought, was brought on by a trespass, it's a now, it's an ought. You can't worship God without getting that, at least doing everything you can do to make that relationship, get that relationship reconciled. If you fail to have a desire to have that relationship reconciled, and you're the one at fault, whoa, you're the offense. Well, you don't know what they've done. I don't need to. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and you do not want to be the reason why that relationship fails. You don't want to be the reason why that family fails. You don't want to be the reason why that church has problems. Listen to me. You don't want to be the offense. You want to be that which is spiritual, understanding the importance of the relationships that God has brought into our lives to making those relationships what God wants us to have. You lose a relationship. You lose the ability to truly worship. It's used to keep a believer living in sin. Because if you have an unforgiving spirit, you're living in sin. It is not Christ-like to have an unforgiving spirit. Matthew chapter 6. Everybody with me tonight? This is a lesson that Jesus taught because he understood the power of a trespass. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if ye, put yourself there, that's you. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's God's will. That's God's plan for unity in relationships, in families, in churches. But if ye forgive not, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, there's that word again, trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you have an unforgiving spirit, then you're living in sin, something that is opposite God's will for your life. Do you realize the power of a trespass? Now, we need to understand more of this, we need to identify a trespass turned to an ought. A trespass turned to an ought. Can I tell you this evening, all trespasses do not necessarily have to become an ought. If I had an ought with everyone that maybe went too far in my thinking, I would have a lot of trespasses to deal with. If I would have to deal with every trespass that possibly went over a boundary line that I had set, I would have a lot of trespasses to deal with. If I would identify with every violation of my rights, my family, I've got a right to the bathroom just as much as my girls had a right to the bathroom, amen? But they didn't seem to understand that. And so, what I'm saying, not every trespass, even though it's something that they should not have done, they should not have done it to you, or they should respect you, or whatever it might be that comes into your heart and mind as a family, as a church, as a married couple, whatever it might be, not every one of those has to be an ought. First Peter chapter 4. Everybody following me tonight, right? First Peter. God wants us to have good relationships. God wants us to have joy in the relationships that He brings into our lives. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent charity. A sacrificial love. A love that is willing to sacrifice. For charity shall cover the multitude of trespasses. Or it says here, sins, which would be a trespass. If you have grace and charity to allow love to cover, then do it. You don't have to go to somebody and say, you know, you did this to me and that and that, and I've been mad at you for 3 years and I have lost all this sleep and peace with God because you've trespassed again. No, listen to me. That's the worst thing you could do. They don't even know about it. Truth of it is, if you've held on to it that long, you didn't let love cover it. And it was actually become an ought in your life that you failed to deal with the way you should have dealt with it. But if I can genuinely let love cover it, that person must have had a bad day today. They're acting out of character. I'm going to believe that they didn't mean what they said to me. And I'm not even going to bring it up. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to let that hinder my feelings toward that individual. I'm just going to walk away from it as if it didn't happen. That's not allowing it to become an ought. It might have been a trespass. Probably was a trespass. But you allowed yourself grace and charity to say, no, they're acting out of character. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Wow. What a blessing when people do that for us. And we ought to do it for others as well as others doing it for us. Not every trespass has to be an ought. Stop letting certain things become an ought, even though they might be a trespass. I'm not saying it's not, but consider the source. Consider the situation. Make understand that not everybody is going to have a good day every day. Not everybody, you don't know what people have gone through when they come to church or when they come home from work or when they come home from school or whatever it might be or whatever your parents had to go through when you come home and you think, wow, they don't have any love for me, no peace about treating me right, whatever it might be. Listen to me, you have to give others the benefit of a doubt by understanding a grace that God will give you connected to charity, willing to sacrifice my own pride and my own will to give them a pass. You need to do that. need to do that with family. Because family, because you expect more from family, you're harder on family than anyone else most of the time. Stop making an ought out of a family member who might have said something that didn't quite go well with you. Yeah. Do you really want to lose that relationship? God brought that relationship into your life. Do you really want to lose that relationship? Then focus on the trespass. Do you want to gain that relationship? Focus on reconciliation and even not having to deal with it if it's not an ought. Yeah, amen. But never use love and grace to cover up a true ought. Something that will not go away on its own. Something that's just inside of you, you can't get by with. You can't get rid of it. You've prayed. You've asked God to help you with it. It's there. Listen to me. Then you need to do what he says to do and how to handle a trespass. But make sure that it is a trespass. It's turned to an ought that you cannot allow love and grace to cover. I love the example of Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 15, go there with me. I want you to see this. I think it's important. Acts in chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas were doing a tremendous work for the Lord. And they had a young intern with them named John Mark. And John Mark, after they got on the field, decided, for whatever, the Bible doesn't tell us what, he left the ministry. He left Paul and Barnabas to carry a load that they intended John Mark to carry. And he left the field, which put more pressure on Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas would have agreed John Mark's behavior was wrong. John Mark's behavior was a trespass against both of them. He didn't think about the extra load it would put on them. He didn't think about how his leaving the ministry at that time would affect the cause of Christ. He didn't. He was selfish, no doubt, whatever it was. But then we find in Acts in chapter 15, verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Paul says, this is an offense that is an ought. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark. Somehow or another, Mark had enough grace and love for John Mark that he said, I'm not going to let this become an ought. Was it a trespass? Yes. But I'm letting love cover this, and I'm going to let him come back with me, and we're going to reconcile him, and together we're going to do a work for Christ. Paul would later deal with this as an ought, and he would call for Mark to come so that he would be in ministry with Paul at the end of his life. But it wasn't for a period of time. So what one can let love cover, another might not be able to. So if you're not able to, don't cover it up. Deal with it as a trespass that becomes an ought. And this is what he says to do. Let's go back and real quickly here. Most of you know this part of the scripture here. I trust that leading up to this, this is helping you to understand I need to make sure that I've done everything I can do in every relationship that God has brought into my life to have the kind of relationship that God wants me to have with this individual, whether it be my child, whether it be my parent, whether it be my brother, whether it be my spouse, whether it be my church member, my family in Christ. These are relationships that God wants you to have, and you might have need of that relationship in your life, especially on down the road. But he says, if that's the truth, then go to him. You have to go to them. Go to the one that you have a trespass and ought with. But to go to them with an attitude of prayer and reconciliation to reestablish what God wants you to have with that person. If you go to them, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Praise the Lord. And I believe that most of the time, if we go in the right spirit, if we go with the humility that God wants you to go in, if you go with them saying, hey, I don't know what took place. I do not want to be at odds with you as my daughter, my son, my mom, my dad, my wife, my husband, a church member. It might be that God, you have to come and humble yourself before them and say, I don't want that. I want this relationship to be restored to what God has for us both in this relationship. And you've defeated the devil when you've done that, because Satan will use this against you in so many ways, and you need to have the relationships that God wants you to have in your life. If you can have them, then you need to have them. Do whatever it takes, whatever God tells you to do. And the first step is to go to that individual one on one. I found myself is not to figure out who's right and wrong. It's not to prove you wrong and me right. It's to defeat the devil in his attempt to destroy this relationship. If you go to them and you say, you know, I'm not your enemy and you're not my enemy. We both have the same enemy. That's the devil. And we're allowing the devil to destroy something here that God wants us to have. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. Yeah. If they will not, then God tells you to do something else. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, then the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established, making sure of what has taken place and what needs to be done to be reconciled. Bring mutual supporters. Go to two of the closest people to that person that you're trying to make right with. Ask two of the closest spiritual people that you know to that individual and take them with you. Don't take your two best buddies. Don't take your posse, okay? Look to the other person and say, who's two people that they respect? Spiritual people in their life. Go to those two and ask them to go with you to reconcile that trespass. Wow. Yeah. How could you not, when you have two people that love you and are spiritual influences in your life, tell them that they're wrong and trying to reconcile? No, you can't do that. I'm telling you, make sure of the right people that you take to address the situation. Because the desire is to restore a broken relationship. It's not about right and wrong. It's really not. It's about restoration. It's about restoring, making right maybe what's been wrong, if there's something that needs to be done to make it right. But if there's nothing that can be done, then stop looking for something and just restore a relationship. Can I tell you, we can't have divisions in Christ's church. That means you can't have divisions in brothers and sisters. You can't have divisions in families. We need to come together so that we can all have every relationship that God wants us to have, because it's vital to accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish. But when it comes down to it, if they will not hear them, the Bible says this, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Because you can't have that kind of cancer in the church. We know what God tells you. It's sin if you're not willing to forgive. And if it has to come down to it, and then over the last 40 years of ministry, 43 years of ministry, I've had to deal with it a few different times. But you can't have the cancer in the church. You can't have disunity. When you come in, you need to have a place of refuge. Everybody needs a place of refuge. Everybody needs to have a love one for another. Everybody needs to have the relationships that God has brought into our lives. So you have to take it to the church. They will not hear the church, then there is church discipline. That is not something that we need to address tonight. Not something that we'd ever want to have happen. I'm going to close with this in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Because he does give us direction on this. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. We not listen to the church. Note that man. And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not support in that kind of behavior when there's a refusal to reconcile a relationship. Yet, and don't lose sight of this, verse 15, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The enemy's the devil. That doesn't mean that some are not allowing the devil to work through them. But when you allow the devil to work through you, you have to have it addressed. You have to deal with it. It's not right. It's not good. No one should want to allow the devil to work through them to cause disunity in any relationship that God brings into our lives. Continue to pray. Continue to seek reconciliation as you look to every opportunity that God would open a door to make the relationship right. Get back on track with the will of God and your relationships. For your relationships, especially all those that God has brought into your life, are very important to the blessings of God upon our lives. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Powerful message that all of us need to take heed to. And asking God what we can do to make the relationships better, to make the relationships what God wants them to be. Be willing to do what God would have you to do, to salvage the relationships that God has brought into our lives. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this message on trespasses and how we are to handle them and what we are to accomplish in defeating the devil and finding ourselves in the will of God with the blessings of God on our lives. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.